Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 16th chapter. John 16 in your Scofield Bible, page 1138. We'll be reading verses 20 through 23. John 16, starting with verse 20 and reading through verse 23, page 1138. May we please stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word, please. And though there are just four verses, let's read the verses responsively. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And this is the text verse. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Let's pray. Father, what a blessed joy it is to be assembled here in this great crowd. Thank you for good folks, for Christian people who come faithfully to these services. And thank you, too, for those who are strangers among us. And we thank you for their coming. We pray that they'll feel the pleasantness and the joy and the warmth and the blessing that is here, and that they will be strangers no more. Bless, we pray, too, and help concerning the preaching of thy word, and thank you for it. Thank you for our preacher who faithfully stands before us. We pray that you'd bless now in this hour in a special way, and may thy spirit certainly rule in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you are a non-college person and you have an emergency and you can wait long enough, I will see you, and I will see those whom I've asked to come. The Savior said to his disciples, he said, and your joy no man taketh from you. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, one joy man cannot destroy. One joy man cannot destroy. The Savior said, and your joy no man taketh from you. That's interesting. No man. You mean, Brother Hines, if somebody gets mad at you, he can't take away your joy? That's what the Bible says. He said, your joy no man taketh from you. But what if somebody disappoints you? The Bible says, and your joy no man taketh from you. But what if somebody passes away? Your joy no man taketh from you. The Bible said, the Lord Jesus said, that there is a joy that no man can take from us. I think I'm going to teach you something this morning, a little truth. It is a great truth, small in comparison of many of the great doctrines of the Bible, but as practical as can be on the subject, one joy man cannot destroy. Father, bless, I pray, our message from Thee today, from the Word of God. Bless the hearts of our people. Strengthen this great crowd. Holy Spirit, have way and sway. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a wonderful statement that our Lord made. He said, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, this is not to say that people cannot affect our happiness. And this is not to say that people cannot affect our sadness. I would not be so foolish as to stand here this morning and say that our joy is not affected and has no relationship whatsoever with men's behavior toward us and treatment of us. The honest truth is that our joy is affected by the treatment of our fellow man.
'Tis true that much of our happiness depends on others. 'Twould be a drab world if nobody could affect you positively. And 'twould be an unusual world if nobody could affect you adversely. Wouldn't the sweet caress of a little child give you added joy? Wouldn't the waywardness of a grown child give you a joy taken away? Of course. Would not a substantial raise in pay add to your joy? Certainly. Would not the losing of your job diminish that joy? Why, certainly. And I'd be the last person in the world to stand here this morning and say that we don't affect each other's joy or happiness. Jesus spoke this to his disciples. Yet, they, in later days, were saddened. He said, your joy no man taketh from you. And yet the truth is, in later days, they were saddened. If you stabbed them, they would bleed. If you burned them, they would smart. If you were ungrateful to them, they were disappointed. If you would hurt them, they wept. If you betrayed them, they were grieved. Our Lord isn't saying that you'll never be sad. He isn't saying that you'll never be disappointed. I hope, for example, that my presence here for almost 23 years has added to your joy. And I should hope that my absence from you would maybe detract at least temporarily, you could get somebody else, from your joy. I would hope that my presence would have added to your comfort, and I would hope that my presence would encourage you. And certainly I would not at all disavow the influence that you have on me. I'd rather see you smile at me than frown at me. I'd rather see you give me a Reese peanut butter cup than a dirty note telling me what an awful sermon I preached last Sunday. I got a letter this week. One lady said, I come to your church every week. She said, you're the best Bible teacher in Sunday school ever heard, but she said, you're not much preacher. And I would not say that I didn't enjoy that letter until I quit enjoying that letter. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that a letter that's unkind does not affect me adversely. And I would not say that a kind letter does not affect me positively. Our happiness is affected by the behavior of our fellow men. The marriage altar and the divorce court do not know equal joy. The maternity ward and the funeral home are not partners in bliss. Our love can be wounded. Our trust can be betrayed. Our hearts can be broken. Our laughter can be subdued. Our shouting can be muffled. Our cheeks can be stained with the overflow of moistened eyes. The lover does hold in his hands the power to gladden or to sadden. And the child does hold in his hands the power to make or break the parent's heart. And the friend does hold in his hands the difference sometimes between laughter and weeping. The Bible says that Jesus said, your joy, no man taketh from you. I don't think for a single second our Lord was saying we're supposed to walk around like zombies, oblivious to all the influence of stimulus that comes our way from mankind. I don't think that at all. I rejoice when a little child says, I love you, Brother Hiles. I rejoice when some young person writes me a note and says, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. I delight when my deacons encourage my heart. And I am grieved when young people go astray. And I'm grieved when some of my members go into sin. And I'm grieved when you grieve, and I weep when you weep. You do affect me, and I do affect you. And your husbands and wives and sons and daughters and mothers and fathers do affect you. And you do affect them. Well, then what does our Lord mean here when he says, your joy no man taketh from you? Didn't you say, Brother Hiles, that joy can be taken from us by negative behavior of our of mankind? Oh, yes, I said that. Didn't you say that joy could be added to us by positive treatment by our fellow man? Oh, yes, I said that. Well, didn't our Lord say, your joy no man taketh from you? Now, I could wish that everybody listened carefully. I could wish this morning that, listen, the reason I say, I know the people in this building pretty well. And I know your burdens. And I know your broken hearts. And I know your frustrations. I left my office last night, late last night, as always. And I was weeping a little bit when I got in the car and drove away and trying to help carry the burdens of people. Practically everybody in my office last night, sometime during the time, they wept and burdens unbearable, it seemed like. And I'm not saying that we are not affected adversely. But our Lord did say, your joy no man taketh from you. Now, what did our Lord mean when he said, your joy no man taketh from you? Listen carefully. I'll tell you what he meant. He meant there is a joy which no man can disturb. Now, there are joys that men can disturb. But there ought to be in everybody's a private chamber in each of us where we alone have the key and nobody can enter and nobody can disturb the joy in that chamber. I liken joy to a house. There are many rooms in our house of joy. And in many of these rooms, we may invite others to affect us with happiness or sadness. But there ought to be one room in our house of joy where nobody ever comes and no grief can ever take that joy away and no discouragement ever take that joy away. And no recession can touch that joy, and no disappointment can touch that joy, and no betrayal or break of trust can touch that joy. Our Lord is saying this. He's saying that there are joys that can be affected by the behavior of men. There are joys that can be enhanced by men's positive treatment of us. And there are joys that can be diminished, and I believe even destroyed by men's treatment of us. But our Savior said, there's one joy. There's one place ought to be in every Christian's life that is a room filled with joy that is not diminished or increased by anything that any human being can do to us. There should be one region which no man but self can touch. A place of joy where no man's feet can tread. A place of joy where no man's eyes can find. A place of joy that no man's hatred can poison. A place of joy that no man's malice can pollute. A place of joy where no man's actions can change. A place of joy where no man's tongue can grieve. A place of joy where no grief may enter. I mean, there ought to be and there can be, bless God, in your life, there can be a certain, shall I say, foundation joy. A certain basis joy that cannot be touched. Listen, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Now, I'm saying that there's nothing can disturb one particular place in my breast where joy is located. Now, some joy can be taken away by the actions of men. And some joy can be increased by the actions of men. But, let me tell you something. God is saying here, Jesus is saying, I am giving you a unique joy. Now, there are many joys in life, but here is a joy, a unique joy I'm giving you, and that joy is untouchable by humankind. That means no death can touch that joy. That means no illness can touch that joy. That means no betrayal can touch that joy. You know, there's no way in the world that you can take that joy from me. No way. You can hate me, that joy stays. Loved ones in my family can be taken away, that joy stays. Disappointment could come that break my heart, that joy stays. Now, I'm not saying that tears will not come. I'm not saying that heartbreak does not come. I'm not saying that suffering does not come. I'm not saying bereavement does not come. But bless God, there is one unique type of joy that cannot be destroyed with the avalanche of men and cannot be touched nor diminished nor even hampered by the behavior of mankind. When friends betray and darts of disappointment dampen, that room of joy is not disturbed. When recession comes and necessities become luxuries, that joy is not disturbed. When death kidnaps the one dearest to you, that joy is not disturbed. When a loved one dies who had no faith in Christ, that joy is not disturbed. When sin has destroyed someone very close to you, that joy is not disturbed. When death sends a forerunner to announce his coming soon to you or a loved one, that joy is not disturbed. Listen, you can break my heart, but you cannot get in that room where that joy is located. You can empty every other room in my house of joy, but there's one joy room that cannot be entered, and you cannot affect it. You cannot have the key. I alone have the key, and you can't get to it. Let me tell you something, folks. That's why people can go to the graveside of a little baby and lay the dearest of life beneath the sod in a little casket and walk away and go to church the next Sunday and sing, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth. That's why. People often ask me, Brother Hyam, do you believe that your dad died unsaved? As far as I know, my dad died unsaved on Mother's Day 1950. My sister and I went to a room where he stayed, and we found an empty bottle, empty whiskey bottle in the top drawer of Dad's dresser, and the man there said that Dad had drunk that the night before he died. He died in the morning time on a Saturday morning, and we found he had nothing but a few little clothes and a little toy cannon and an empty whiskey bottle. That's all he left us. That's all the sum total of our inheritance we got from our dad when he died. And somebody said, Little House, do you mean that you believe that your dad could be in hell today? I think there's a definite possibility. I think there is. I don't rejoice in it, but I have to face reality. There's a good chance my dad never got saved. There's a good chance that my dad might be in hell today. Well, you say, Brother Hyams, how can you be happy? How did I be happy? Because there's a room of joy in my heart that Dad can't get to. There's a room of joy in my heart that death cannot find. There's a place of joy in my heart that disappointment cannot touch. That's why when the doctor says, you have cancer, and you walk away and the doctor says you have 6 months to live, now the tears will come, and you'll wish you could live long enough to rear the children, or you'll wonder how your wife's going to make it and how the family going to make it without your provisions. Or you wonder how your husband's going to make it then, and your children without a wife and a mother. And you go back home, and their apprehensions and their tears, and it's a broken heart. But blessed be God, to the child of God, there is a little room packed with joy that God gives that cancer cannot take away. There is a little room packed with joy that God gives that death cannot take away. It is locked. Nobody has the key but you and me. Now, if you knew today the heartbreak in this room last night, and I'll not betray anybody who came to my office, of course, last night. But last night, a man was in my office. He has one of the heaviest loads to bear of any man I know in America today. I mean, I don't know really how he faces tomorrow morning. But the truth is, he'd cry. And I'd weep some. He'd tell me he loved me, and I'd tell him I loved him. And then, funny thing, we'd say something funny. And I saw that man this morning, and he had something funny to say. And I said something funny to him. We laughed and had a big time. Now, how could that man do that? How could he do it? How is it possible for a man to face the crisis of a lifetime, or the crises of a lifetime? How is it possible for that to be done? And that man still alive. I'll tell you what. Listen, the devil has no joy that man cannot destroy. Not a one. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say the devil cannot give you joy. I'm not going to do that. I think the devil can give you happiness. I think there's a certain happiness, but the happiness that every joy that the devil gives is destructible. It can be destroyed. It can be taken away. But there is a joy unspeakable that Jesus gives, that man's hands cannot tarnish, and man's words cannot discourage, and man's actions cannot change, and man's hatred cannot divert. There is a joy that Jesus gives that cannot be tarnished, and there's nothing any human being in the world can do to tarnish that joy. It's indestructible. It's joy unspeakable. It's joy full of glory. And Jesus said, this joy that I'm going to give you is a joy that cannot be destroyed. No man taketh it from you. Now listen to me. If my deacon board tonight met after the service and they said, we're a little tired of all this hard preaching. We're going to recommend to the church Wednesday night our pastor be removed from the pulpit. And next Wednesday night, if this church stood up and said, we no longer want you as our pastor, I would miss this. The honor of my ministry has been pastoring this great church. And as far as I know, I believe God's going to leave me here. I believe the next job I have will be a job shining the shoes of my Lord in glory. But if you did that Wednesday night, you would take away some of my joy. But there is a joy I have that you couldn't touch. No way. No way. If this morning I heard Brother Colston was out on a drunk last night, and if I heard that Brother Bullard, while his wife is in the hospital, has been going to discos regularly, if I heard Brother Keith McKinney was going to the rock and roll places, if I heard Brother Lively had gone and quit the ministry and gone into the silver business, my heart would be crushed, but my joy would not all be gone. Because, Brother Bullard, there's a joy I have you can't touch. Now, I'd be disappointed. There is a joy I have that you can touch. There are joys I have you can touch. Brother Keith, I've been your pastor since you were that high. There are joys. You could break my heart if you wanted to. But there is a joy you can't touch. Brother Lively, Brother Colston, there are joys you can't touch. There are joys that if I heard that all of my family was killed in a plane crash at the same time, I'd be grieved, I'd be heartbroken and crushed, but there's a joy that wouldn't take away. Jesus said, and you're a joy, no man taketh from you. Now, what is that joy? I haven't time nor the disposition to go into all of it, but I'll simply say this. Basically, that joy is our fellowship with Jesus Christ. He's talking to them. He said, I'm leaving. He said, you're saddened now. You're grieved now. Miss Golston said this morning. Her sister sat right back there a while ago. She had to rush to O'Hare Field, catch an airplane, going back to Africa as a missionary to Africa 4 more years. She'll serve 30 years in Africa. Miss Golston's sad today. A little extra sad because her mother passed away recently. And yet the truth is, the smile won't be missing all day long. Why? Because there is a joy that Africa can't take away. And there's a joy the undertaker can't touch. And there's a joy the death angel can't reach. I mean, and that joy is fellowship with our Lord. Now listen. If you do not walk with God, then every joy you have is destructible. You say, over the house, I'm saved. That's not the joy he's talking about. Listen, he just got through saying to them, these disciples, he said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away. Here's what he's saying. He say, I'm going to go to the cross. And you know it. And I'm going to die. My body will be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And you know it. And he says, you have sorrow now. But he said, I will see you again. And then you shall rejoice. And that joy cannot be taken from you. Now hold it. He said, you sorrow now. Why? He was going to leave them. But he said, I'll see you again, and you'll rejoice. And he said, that joy will not be taken from you. Now, what does it mean? He means that there, this little bundle of joy that is indestructible, this little bundle of joy that cannot be touched or removed by man's hands is the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm going, you're sad. Coming back, you'll have joy, and that joy shall not. And the truth is, what he's saying here, he said, I am alive, I will be dead, and I'll be alive again forevermore. And so the joy that cannot be taken away is the fellowship that God's people can have with the risen Christ. There's a certain kind of fundamentalism that is all over this nation today that's nothing more than a hoop and a holler and a rah, rah, rah and a 15 for the Bible. I mean, it's about as shallow as a wading pool. That's nothing more than church work, and I mean it has soul winning in it. I don't care how much soul winning you do, and I'm for it. Nothing will take the place of your intimate fellowship with your Savior. Nothing. Nothing. Hey, did you know the joy of soul winning can be taken away? Try it sometime. You go to a house? Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? No, I don't. Would you like to know? Yes, I would. And inside, pump, 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 pump. And boy, you say, I've got one on the hook. I've got to be careful now as I reel him in. And boy, he just reels in so easy and gets in the boat, and he says he's saved, and he says, I thank, I'm so glad you came by today. I'm glad I'm saved. And boy, you leave that place that bouncing 10 feet with every step and go to the next house. Knock on the door. How do? You know if you die, you go to him and slam the door in your face. And that joy's gone. It's gone. I've been there. It's gone. And the joy of soul winning can be taken away by man. Anybody ever go soul winning, come home discouraged? Huh? Anybody ever go soul winning, got dog bit? Huh? That joy can be taken away. Did you know the joy of coming to church can be taken away? Oh, you come to church, we sing the songs, and we have some fun, and the bass section of the choir misbehaves, and the normal thing that goes on. And boy, you go home and say, boy, I tell you what, I feel so good. And then your wife comes in, or your husband comes in, and your joy is taken away. Or the baby vomits all over the house. And you say, what day is this? You forgot you came to church. Listen, did you know the joy, I hate to say this, but the joy of serving God can be taken away by man. I have come to this pulpit and preached the gospel and left this pulpit on top side, gone to my office, and the first person that met me there ruined my whole day. I'm saying those joys can be taken away. Blessed be God, when I walk in the secret place of the Most High, and I enter that little closet of fellowship with my Savior, there's nothing in the world can destroy that. That's the joy that cannot be taken away. That's the joy that baby vomiting on the house or overflowing his container and so forth. I better not go any further there. Unbearable, unreasonable husband or a nagging wife. That's the joy, a dirty letter. That's the joy that death, that's the joy, disappointment, that's the joy that heartbreak cannot touch. And listen, you better find it. You better find it. And you better not depend on this church building for your joy. This church building is only a place to remind you of your prayer closet. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Hear me? And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There is a joy in my soul. I'm not against saying amen in church. But if you say amen, Brother Borby gets up here and he sings a good special solo, and boy, you're lifted to the sky. Amen! Woo! Says Stan. Come on! And then, Brother Woodbury stands the next time and sings a solo. He doesn't come within three bars of the right key, three keys of the right bar. He sings those white ones instead of those black ones. Like this morning. And you said that, Stan. And so when he gets through singing, he sits down. I mean, if somebody could clear their throat, it'd sound good, wouldn't it? No, amen. If somebody would just blow their nose, it'd sound some response. But they don't do it. Now, why? Look, because your joy is affected by what stimulates you. That's why I can preach. I preached on heaven tonight. We walk down golden streets and through gates of pearl in fellowship with Elijah and John the Baptist and Apostle Paul, looked in the face of Jesus and saw his nail-scarred hands. We'd all get happy. But he probably won't do that. He'll probably go in your house and find what you've been doing wrong and beat the dickens out of you because you've been doing it. And you'll sit there like you just got hit by a kick by a cow or a mule. You see, I can affect you. And you can affect me. But if you went to your prayer closet this morning, here you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? If you've been to your prayer closet this morning, you have a joy I cannot diminish. No, I can't. And by the way, if you hear the word today that your wife is killed in a car wreck or your child has been killed in a car wreck, that joy won't be diminished. That's why you see couples who have little children in this church who have little children with leukemia. And that's why you say, how do they take it? I'll tell you how they take it, because there's a foundation joy of fellowship with Jesus that even leukemia cannot take away. How do they smile? How do they take it? I'm not saying you won't have broken hearts. I'm not saying your heart won't break. I'm not saying you won't have times in the valley. But I'm saying, yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Why? For thou art with me. That's the fellowship. But if you do not have fellowship with him, you cannot claim the 23rd Psalm. Thou art with me. The Savior said, I'm leaving, and you're sorrowful. But he said, I will see, you'll see me again, and you'll rejoice. And he said, that joy no man taketh from you. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe I'm basically a happy person. The miracle of my life, the miracle of my life is how? Hardly any time, ever, when anybody comes. And the door, and say, Brother House, I need to see you. Need to make an appointment. And they come in and say, Brother House, I just came by to tell you. Whoopee! Everything is all right. I got plenty of money. My wife is in good health. Husband's fine. And one person can't say those same two statements. But, and the children are well. And the house is okay. And you just wouldn't believe how things are, Brother House. I just wanted to come by and ask you how to keep it that way. Nobody does that. Everybody walks through that door. Brother Hiles,
pray for my daughter. Brother Hiles, I can't send my family to a Christian school.
I do not know how many tears I've shed over that one thing. There's no way in the world Brother Hiles can there's no way Brother Hiles can pay for all the people that need to send their kids to Christian schools and can't this year. No way. I want to say this. I'd sell my car and ride a bicycle before I'd take my kid out of a Christian school. I mean that. And I mean it literally. I don't mean it figuratively. You shouldn't take your child out of a Christian school till your stereo is sold, your TV is sold, your radio is sold, everything in the house except what you got to have is sold. But I'm saying that here they come, like an army. And they weep. And their hearts are broken. But I'm happy. There are 10,000 reasons this morning why, if I didn't have this basic joy, I wouldn't be happy today. But I got up this morning. And I got on my knees beside my bed. We had a little chat. And I got some good news for you. He's still alive. He's still alive. And I came down to the office this morning. And I got on my knees in my office. And for quite some time, I talked to him. I read his book. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. What joy? The joy of church? No, yes, I have that, but that may be gone this afternoon. The joy of visitation? Yep, but that may be gone tomorrow. The joy of fellowship with God's people? Yep, but that may be gone. The joy of grandchildren? Yeah, but they might be taken. The joy of family? Yeah, but they can be taken. The joy of prosperity? Yes, but prosperity can be taken. But since the apostles and Magdalene and Peter and John, since they saw that empty tomb and the shout came, He is not here, He is risen. His presence has been available to His people every moment of the time. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. There is a joy that cannot be affected by the circumstances of life or the happenstances of human beings. And that joy is the joy of walking with Jesus. Sing it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Down in my heart.
To stay, to stay. That's the kind of joy that writer was talking about, to stay. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart till somebody gets mad. No. Down in my heart till I get cancer. No. Down in my heart until baby gets leukemia. No. That joy is dependent upon my walk with Him. And He walks with me and He talks with me. Sing it. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. It just may be that depression, recession will become depression. It just may be that all of us will be in the soup lines. It just may be that jobs will be impossible to find. It may be. But that joy, the joy of fellowship with Christ, will not be affected. It may be, and it will be, by this time next Sunday morning, that tragedy will come to somebody in this room. Every week it does. Every week it does. Every week of the world, tragedy comes to somebody who was sitting here on Sunday morning. And it will. It will. And the joy of a child may be gone. Or the joy of a husband may be gone. Or the joy of a friend may be gone. Or the joy of being well may be gone. Or the joy of being secure may be gone. But there need not be anybody come any circumstance or happenstance of life that does not have one little room, one little place in his life where he alone holds the key. And nothing anybody else can do can take it away. Nobody can enter that room. Well, that's the joy the Savior is talking about when he said, I'm leaving you and you're sad. I'm coming back, and you'll have joy. And since I'm never leaving again, no man can take that joy away. Bless God. Our Heavenly Father.